Good morning. Let's pray to begin. So, Lord, just thank you for your word. And will you give us the ears to hear what you'd have to say to us this morning through your word? And will you give us hearts soft enough to be transformed by your word? Amen. Does anyone else out there think that it's ridiculous just how many of these celebrity TV shows are on at the moment? The other day, I was going through some channels and I came across one called Celebrities on the Farm. And I didn't recognize a single one of them, but apparently they are celebrities. But if you watch TV at all, you're bombarded by ads for these types of shows constantly. I mean, there's like celebrities go dating, the big ones where I'm a celebrity, get me out of here, celebrity on ice, and the celebrity big brother, but there are tons of them. Apparently there's this huge market for these types of shows. But there actually may be a very deep reasoning for this, other than for its entertainment value. Recently, an academic by the name of Dr. Fishkoff, I believe is how you say his name, he studies the cult of celebrity. And he says that the very need to find an idol and follow him is programmed into our DNA. He says, what's in our DNA as a social animal is the interest in looking at alpha males and females, the ones who are important in the pack. He says, we are sociologically pre-programmed to follow the leader. And he also said and notes that we are biochemical sitting ducks for the Hollywood star system. And there's also another study with more than 600 people. And these psychologists found that out of 600, that about a third qualified for a condition that they coined celebrity worship syndrome. Now, this syndrome, I mean, of course, it has varying degrees of how severe these cases might be. On the far end of the spectrum, it says it's most severe, like the object of our worship becomes the central figure in our lives. And I think if you're on that end, we got to be thinking about like the stalkers. I don't think there's many people that far in, hopefully. But even across the spectrum, it's causing issues. And he said, and most commonly, the people who fit into this celebrity worship syndrome spectrum, they're very prone to suffer from anxiety and depression. And if you think about it, it just makes sense. If they're looking to these celebrities as this standard to live up to, it's soul-crushing, really. But Abby Aronowitz, she's the psychologist from Long Island, New York, and who led this research. And she said, information about the celebrity or any little thing from their life is like a fix that the worshiper must have. They're almost compelled to learn more, read more, know more, and it's non-ending. And then they go on to say that some even begin to believe that they have this special, I guess you could say almost like a spiritual connection, some sort of connection with the celebrity. It's bizarre, right? It's interesting. It's scary. But these researchers are finding that there is something deep within us that compels us to idolize or worship something or someone. Now, as Fishkoff said, it very well could just be this primitive survival man cave stuff. The wired need to find the alpha that has been carried on through the evolution of man. Because back then, I'm sure, if you weren't following the right leader, odds are you're going to die. Or could an argument be made that God created man, maybe even caveman. And all of this is actually a reflection of who he is. This need to worship. Because what does it mean to worship? Well, I think the best to answer that question is to try and explain the relationship of the Trinity. Because to me, the relationship between the three persons of God depicts an image of worship. And the early church leaders described the Trinity using this term, I'm going to butcher this word, I'm sure, perichoresis, perichoresis. So peri being circle, choresis is dance, so like a circle dance. And they would describe how God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have always been in this eternal dance of mutual love, respect, admiration, and continually seeking to elevate the other. I mean, God the Father sent Jesus to include us in this dance. And as Philippians 2 puts it, God has exalted Jesus to the highest place and gave him the name that is above all names. And Jesus continually said things like, and he who sent me is with me. He's not left me alone, for I will always do the things that are pleasing to him. And when Jesus explained the work of the Holy Spirit, he said in John 16, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me. He will take what is mine and declare it to you. So the three persons of God are always focusing on and elevating the other. It's in this image of the eternal dance that has most helped me to understand what true worship looks like. It's about recognizing the thing that we love and honor, submit to, and elevate. Now, as Christians, we say that we worship Jesus. I mean, we've been singing these worship songs about Jesus this morning. But worship is so much more than singing a song. It's so much more than praying or reading the Bible or any of the things we normally do on a Sunday morning. These things are actually simple and can easily be done by someone who isn't worshiping Jesus at all. Because our worship is best displayed in how we live our lives. And who we worship is exposed in the way we live our lives. One of the more scary things that I think Jesus ever said can be found in Matthew 7, when he said, this is beginning at verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Because many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name, drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Because the act of worshiping Jesus is done by submitting to the will of the Father, just as he did. There's no way around it. So the image of worship depicted in this morning's reading of Psalm 100, where it describes making a joyful noise to the Lord and entering his gates with thanksgiving and praise, it's all but surrounding a verse that says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. It doesn't matter how good you might feel singing a song. Jesus said, if you're not doing the will of God the Father, then you're certainly not following or worshiping him. I'm not convinced that our celebrity worship is just some leftover residue from early man's need for survival. I mean, it's destroying people. How could that be an instinctual thing for survival? No, I believe our need to find something to worship goes much further back. We're created in the image of the triune God that continually loves, honors, submits to, and elevates the other. And we've been invited into this dance by the work of the triune God. It's the Father who sent Jesus and the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points us to Jesus, and Jesus reveals to us God the Father. We are creatures that have been created to love, honor, submit, and elevate. And in other words, worship. We can't help but worship. That's what we were made to do. And through the Holy Spirit, we can become aware of where we may be misplacing our worship. And through him, who always points to Jesus, we may be reminded of who our hearts were created to worship. I like how the psalmist in Psalm 44, he prays this. If we have forgotten the name of our God, or stretched out our hands to any strange God, will not God search it out? For he knows the secrets of the heart. God knows that we are prone to worship many false gods. And he knows the secrets of our hearts better than we know ourselves. So let's pray. Lord, you are God. We are yours, and we come to you with thanksgiving and praise. And what a beautiful thing that you have created us to be. Ones who loves and elevates the other. So forgive us when we love and elevate anything more than you. Will you search our hearts and expose those times when we stretch out our hands to anything other than you? Come, Holy Spirit. Show us how to truly be worshipers of Jesus. Amen.